Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
All right, how we doing? All right. I thought I might have to shed this. I thought it was cold. It's kind of cold in the back, and then you get up front, and everybody's kind of, you know, worshiping and stuff, so it's a little bit warmer up here. Okay, now, as promised, we're not going to recap as a group. We are going to start to see if there is an individual worthy to come forward and try this. But there's going to be, it's not just going to be stand up here and say it. We're going to give you some sort of obstacle or distraction while we do this. Now, to keep it fair, somewhat, without just picking people randomly, I'm going to start just grabbing our different teams throughout these next few times that we do this, and I'm going to have you as a team send one person up when I call your team. It's like today I'm just choosing one team based on our Olympic competition here this week, and you guys send one up, and then I'm also going to ask for your one of your cabin leaders to come up here with you to kind of be our like accountability person to make sure that you got all of the words right. Does that make sense? Okay, so I got in here a little bit late. Did they put up, have the standings changed? Or are they still the same as this morning as far as the who's in the lead? It's still the same as this morning? Okay, so what's that? People got more points? So here's the thing. Is Meteor Shower still seventh place right now? Is that right? Is Meteor Shower, I hate to use the word last, but is Meteor Shower in last place right now? Okay. So in keeping with Jesus' words that the last will be first, I want the group from Meteor Shower to send me one person, one camper from Meteor Shower who thinks they can come up here and get it done. They keep pointing at my man right here. Okay. All right, come on up. All right, what's your name, buddy?
Hayden.
Yeah! We got Hayden. Yeah! All right. Okay, and can I have one cabin leader or team leader from Meteor Shower come up here just to be accountability?
That's my cousin.
This is your cousin?
Yeah.
You're practically famous.
That's
your brother. Okay, so you're super famous. Okay. All right, so you've got the microphone too. That's awesome. All right, so.
Hello?
Okay, so here, I'm going to have you stand over here so he can't see. These are our words. How many words we got?
Six.
Okay, so keep him from seeing that. Hayden, give me just a second here. Because I don't want anybody like cheating or giving you, I think you know it, but we don't want anybody cheating and like feeding you answers. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to blindfold you, okay? Can you see what's going on?
No.
Can you breathe?
Yes.
Okay. Can you speak into this microphone here?
Yes.
Okay. So here's what we're going to do, Hayden. There you go. Can you really see Hayden?
No.
Okay. So Hayden, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to have you start doing jumping jacks. And then when I tell you to go, I'm going to hold the mic up here and you're going to give us all six of these words. And give me your name again. I'm sorry.
Gavin.
Gavin? Yes. Gavin is going to be our accountability. And if he gets them all right, he's going to be like, yeah, and then everybody's going to be real excited, and then we're going to have a prize for Hayden. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
All right. Hayden, you ready to start doing jumping jacks, bro?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Let's get him worked up here a little. Okay.
Yeah.
Hayden, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Ready? Go, Hayden.
Ask, blessing, do, love, do part two, words.
Yeah. Thanks, bro. There's my guy. All right. Hayden. Hayden, all right. We got a couple of exciting prizes for you. Do you want this cool Miracle Camp pennant to hang in your room when you get home? Or do you want, where is it? Do you want this sticker that says Dodge This from Dodgeball? Which one? You want this one? All right, there you go. Give it up for Hayden. Woo! All right. The stakes are gonna get sillier and crazier as we go on. So don't just be like, oh, I just gotta. And remember, we're gonna keep adding words, so it's gonna keep getting a little crazier. And you know, the prizes might get a little better, maybe, just depending on what you're looking for. So that's the kind of stuff we're gonna do. So tomorrow morning, I might pick another team. We don't know. It might be whichever team is red. Or whichever team is green. So, all right. Hey, let's jump to James chapter 3. We're still in James chapter 3. Let's jump to the next section, James chapter 3, starting verse 13 through 18. Only six verses that we're going to read through, and we're going to point out some stuff. That's what we've been doing here. We point out some stuff. We try to point out three questions out of the scripture. Try to answer those, and then get you thinking about them. And maybe some of you get you. Sometimes the Bible, I think, is intentionally tries to make us a little bit uncomfortable with some stuff because it's pointing out some things that we've done or made some bad choices or some things we've done in our hearts that doesn't quite sit right. And when that happens, understand that that's what we call the conviction of the Holy Spirit. That God's Spirit that lives in us is that thing that points out. He is the part of the Trinity of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, that points out, hey, maybe you made a bad decision on that. Maybe you used your words incorrectly. Maybe you have followed God's word, but you haven't done those things. So, If something along the way this week makes you kind of uneasy about that, that's okay. That's God's Spirit speaking to your heart and saying, hey, maybe we need to work on this. And we'll get through this, but maybe this is something we need to work on going forward. Okay, let's read through it. James 3:13 through 18. If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it. Ooh, this sounds kind of like, hear something, do something. Prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying, for jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving. It's gentle at all times and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. All right, I gotta find my spot here. There it is. Something happened with my computer. Okay. Maybe you've noticed at this point, we're about 3.5 days into the book of James, almost 3 full chapters in, is that James is really, really, really concerned about the people that he wrote this letter to, and now 2,000 years later to us, he's really concerned that we make good choices. Maybe you've kind of figured that out at this point. Let's make good choices with our words. Let's make good choices with what we do with God's scripture. Let's make good choices with what we ask for. Let's make good choices all over the place. And now he kind of ramps it up. Instead of going from just making good choices, he wants us to make wise choices. So Not wasting any time. Question number one is always, what? So here's our word, wisdom. Not trying to be sneaky, it's wisdom. This is our next word. James wants us to make wise choices, so it's appropriate that our word is wisdom. We're almost back at the first chapter on Sunday night when we were focusing on what it meant to ask. But if you remember, that was about asking for what? It was about asking for wisdom, yeah. It wasn't just about like asking for anything, asking for $1 million, asking for a PS5, asking. It was about asking for wisdom. And he said to ask God who gives it generously. But then he tells us if we really understand who God is and how he works, we prove it by our deeds that come from wisdom. But if we're jealous and selfish in our hearts, that's not God's type of wisdom. Which is funny, the first time I read that, I had to read it a few times because it would have been easy for me to skip over that part, but James' word says, that's not God's type of wisdom. And if I'm reading that correctly, to me, it really sounds like if he's saying, if you're doing stuff because you're jealous of someone or jealous about something or you are selfish and you want to do something just for yourself, that is not God's type of wisdom. So if I'm reading that correctly and if you're hearing me correctly, it kind of makes you think, well, if that's not God's type of wisdom, then there must be two types of wisdom. Does that logically make sense to you? If one thing is not God's type of wisdom, then that would imply, well, there must be another type of wisdom that's not God's wisdom. You guys still with me? Reach up. All right. So, there are two types of wisdom is kind of what James is hinting at, and I think he's right. We got a slide for you up here, if you want to go to that next one. There are two kinds of wisdom that we need to think about. That there is a thing called what we would call earthly wisdom, what James would call earthly wisdom, and a really, really brief definition would be any type of wisdom that is kind of selfish in nature or jealous in nature. And you can kind of find that defined in chapter 3, verse 15. He says, hey, that stuff that's selfish, that stuff that's jealous, that's not God's kind of wisdom. So, how many of you all have a friend that will tell you what you want to hear? That you really want to do something and you're just like, who can I talk to that will give me the go-ahead? It's like, yeah, do that. Yeah, you should do that. Make your, you know, treat yourself. You should do that. Make yourself feel better. Do what you want to do. You do you, bro. And you've got that friend that's like, yep, do it. You'll text them, should I do this? And you just get like a thumbs up. Like, all right. So now how many of you have a friend that says, have you thought about this? I know you really want to do this, but maybe you should consider what might happen if you do this. Anybody have a friend like that? That's a good friend to have. The first friend, that first friend could get you in trouble because your mom's just like, well, why'd you do this? Well, I talked to Bill and he said it was cool to do that. Like, well, Bill is not your parent and is Bill going to punish you for that kind of stuff? So there are two kinds of wisdom. Godly wisdom is defined in verse 17, which is kind of the opposite. It makes sense. It's peace-loving. Like you want to make peace with other people. It is gentle. It's willing to yield to other people. Think of when James says it's willing to yield to other people, it is putting other people first. And that would make sense if he tells us that worldly wisdom is putting ourselves first, that godly wisdom is putting other people first. It is yielding to others. Like you guys are all, most of you all are all too young to drive yet, but at some point you're going to start learning to drive and you're going to encounter a sign that's an upside down triangle and it's red and white and it says yield. And what that means is it doesn't mean come to a complete stop, but if there's somebody, you know, if you live in one of these towns that's got 800,000 roundabouts that you have to like yield because somebody needs to go first, you are putting somebody else first. It is full of mercy, and it is doing good deeds. Now we're back to some of the stuff we've talked about earlier. James is going to talk about the same stuff kind of over and over as we keep going throughout the book here. So there are two kinds of wisdom. Let me give you a couple other examples of how we might see earthly wisdom show up today. Can we go to the next slide here? How many of y'all heard this? I just heard, oh my gosh. We hear this stuff all the time. We hear, follow your heart. Just do what your heart says. Just what is your heart telling you to do? Follow your heart. That is dangerous stuff. It doesn't seem dangerous because it's like saying, yeah, this is who I am. This is what I want to do. I want to make myself feel good about this stuff. We talked this morning about how our words can get us in trouble. This can get us in all kinds of trouble too, following our hearts. Why did you do that? I just felt like it. That's kind of following our heart. Well, how did that work for you? Like, I know people who got in trouble this past year in school, got sent to the principal's office. Why'd you do that? I don't know, I just felt like it. Well, how did that work out for you now that you're serving an in-school suspension because you followed your heart? Or maybe you got an out-of-school suspension because you followed your heart. Like, following your heart can be dangerous kind of stuff. This idea that's like, you can do whatever you want to do. Well, that's not entirely true. If I thought in my heart that I could play for the Los Angeles Lakers, that doesn't mean I could play for the Los Angeles Lakers. Why? Well, because I'm old, and because I'm hurt all the time, and because I'm 6'2", and everybody needs to be about 6'5" or 6'6" and taller, and because I'm not athletic enough, and because I'm not fast enough, and because I can't shoot well enough. So there are all of these things that are stacked against me. So I'm not here to on all of your dreams and ambitions, but this idea, it's like, just follow your heart. If you want to play for the Los Angeles Lakers, old man, Uncle Kevin, you can do it because you're the best. That's not true. That's just not true. So this is dangerous advice. This is worldly type of advice. Here's another way that we kind of interpret follow your heart. YOLO! Y'all know YOLO, right? Y'all know this. You guys will make decisions because of YOLO, right? Some of you guys have been avoiding the zip line for the past couple years. And you had a YOLO moment today because you're just like, I gotta do this because YOLO. And you jump off, and you're like, YOLO! And you're just like, zip down the line there. So can I tell you that I had a YOLO moment at this camp with the zip line in 2009? Yeah, in 2009. So before most of y'all were even born. 2009, I had a YOLO moment with the zip line because the first time I did a zip line, I was 17 years old. I was scared to death. I was in front of a bunch of my friends on a youth group trip. I was in Georgia somewhere, and I did this. Like, all my friends were like jumping off there, like, yeah! This is how I did the zip line. You guys ready? So we were up on a platform, and this is how I did the zip line. I got up here, and it was my turn. I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do this. And then I got all hooked up, and then I got out there, and I was just like, yeah, this is safe, right? I'm like, yeah, it's good. They're like, it's not going to snap. They're like, it takes 8,000 pounds to break this line. I was like, all right, I'm about 215. I'm like, I think I'm good. Okay. So then I was just like, all right, here's what I'm going to do. And then I got down on the edge like this. And I was like, all right, I'm going to do this. I'm like, you sure this is good? They're like, yeah, it's good. So I went like this. I went, like did that, and just like kind of real, I mean, it was like the weakest thing in the world, just kind of scooted my butt off and just kind of like went out there and did that. And so kind of felt like an idiot after doing that when all my other friends were like, yeah, and like jumping off I just had a real issue with it. So fast forward all these years later, I go up to the zip line and I'm up there and I'm just like, nah, man, it's YOLO. It's YOLO this time. I'm 32 years old. I'm not doing this crap again. And so I'm like, yo, it's YOLO. And so back then, they used to have a zip line thing where you were starting in the back and they would open the doors up. And so I'm in the back, and they had me all hooked up, and they opened the doors up, and I was like, are we good? They're like, yeah, you're good. I'm like, I went, yeah, like that. And I just like jumped off and took off because I had this YOLO moment. I'm like, you only live once. So I just like took off. But we will be motivated by YOLO for all kinds of stuff. Man, my wife is in the back. I'm motivated by YOLO all the time. I'm just like, man, we should go to this basketball game because like I can get tickets cheap. We should go down and watch that. We live like 2 hours from Indianapolis. So I was like, man, we should go down and watch the Fever again before the season's over so I can watch Caitlin Clark. Like, not just because we share the same last name. She's the second coolest Clark in Indiana. But, so, like, I get YOLO all the time. I'm like, man, I need to buy this because it's 20% off. So I try to, like, say, well, it's a good deal, but it's really, like, YOLO. Like, I want to follow my heart and buy this something. So we do that stuff all the time. Here's another way we interpret it. FOMO! Y'all know FOMO, right? FOMO, fear of missing out. Fear of missing out. I got to do this because what if I miss out on it? That's following my heart. I'm not necessarily thinking through it. And it's just like, dude, you got math homework you got to work on tonight. Like, well, yeah, but FOMO. Like, yeah, but everybody's going out and getting ice cream this evening. Well, what if I miss out on that? Well, they'll never go get ice cream again. All the ice cream stores are going to shut down in Indiana. And there's going to be no more ice cream. FOMO. And so this is another way of thinking about following our hearts, but we're not processing through and like thinking through things all the way. And James says, man, this is dangerous stuff for you guys to do. You got to watch out for these things. You have to weigh these things carefully. The follow your heart people and the YOLO and the FOMO people, these are the people who tell the person who is like the worst singer on the planet. They're like, nah, man, you could totally make American Idol. Nah, go up there and do it. Get up there and sing. And then you like see them come out and they sing and it is the worst thing you've ever heard. And they're all just like, nah, man. They're like, but my grandma said I was the best. They're like, grandma needs to get her hearing checked. So that is bad wisdom. That is bad advice. And we all fight this. I don't want to stand up here and tell you like, oh, I don't have problems with YOLO. I don't have problem with FOMO. I got problems with that stuff. But it's bad advice. You know what else? Do you know who else followed his heart in the Bible? Cain. What'd Cain do? Cain killed his brother because he followed his heart. And God warned him. He's like, dude, sin is crouching at your door and it desires to have you like an animal would attack something, but you have to be a master over it. And Cain didn't listen and went out and killed his brother because he was following his heart. You know who else followed his heart in the Bible? David. David did a lot of good stuff, but one weekend he followed his heart, and you know what he ended up doing? He ended up stealing another man's wife, and he had that dude killed because he wanted this woman. He followed his heart, and that was a bad thing that happened. You know, one more, do you know who else followed his heart in the scripture? Judas. Judas followed his heart, and he betrayed Jesus for money. So, following your heart, it can lead to bad stuff, and that's the worldly kind of wisdom that James is warning us against. So, follow your heart, man. Follow it straight off a cliff, because that's what's going to happen. Now, do you know how the Bible addresses this idea of following your heart? Here's a scripture straight out of God's word. This is how the Bible addresses this idea of following your heart. In Jeremiah 17, God's word. Now, this is before FOMO, and this is before YOLO, and this is before social media, and this is before Snapchat, and before Instagram, and before all this stuff. And the Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure, and who can understand it? So our hearts kind of are almost designed to trick us into thinking there's something that we want that we don't need or that's going to be bad for us in the long run. And we've got to measure that against God's wisdom that said, hey, if it's selfish or if it's jealous, man, that's not for you. But man, if it's bringing peace and it's doing good things for other people and it is putting other people first, that's the right kind of thing to do. That's the right kind of wisdom. So question two, so what? Why is this important? It's important because there's two kinds of wisdom. And because there's two kinds of wisdom, we need to ask wisely. We need to ask wisely because there's two kinds of wisdom. So clearly, obviously, we need to ask for God's wisdom. We're already back to chapter 1. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask, first word, to God who gives generously. Ask wisely. God is just waiting to give you the good stuff, the good wisdom on how to handle things. But now we're back to chapter 1. You got to ask, but you need to ask wisely. And remember the difference. If it's selfish or if it's jealous, it's worldly. If it's willing to put other people first, if it's gentle, it's godly wisdom. Take us to question 3. Now what? We're moving quickly today. Now what? You guys know where we're going with this. We always want to have a question that challenges us, that takes this and kind of puts it in our hearts and makes us wrestle with it. So ask yourself, maybe not today, but the next time that follow your heart, that desire, that YOLO, that FOMO starts creeping into your life, what is behind this desire? Is this purely for myself? Is this to bless somebody else? Is this because this is what Jesus wants me to do? Man, just give that a little bit of time and pray on that and think through it. I would even suggest maybe just pray on it, go to bed that night. Don't even like make a decision on that kind of thing. And then when you wake up the next morning, if that thing is still kind of sticking around and kicking around in your head, then maybe start talking and pursuing that a little bit more. But avoiding these like really quick impulsive decisions can be a good thing for us. What's behind my desires? And then why do I want what I want? Why do I want what I want? Hear me out. I'm not saying that you can't have any fun with anything. I think God put things on earth for us to enjoy, but let's have some wisdom in these kinds of things. If you have saved your birthday money because you're saving up to go buy something, then that's good, because God would rather you save that up than try to manipulate others into getting that thing for you and being honest about that stuff. So that's okay. But it's always good to ask ourselves, why do I want what I want? So I think worship team, you guys got a closer for us, right? I'm going to have them come up here. So wrestle through these questions, guys. Why do I want what I want? What is behind my desires? And then ask for wisdom on how we handle these things. Let me pray for us, and then we'll close out with worship, and then we'll get on with the rest of our night here. Father.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into Scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.